Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, precious and almighty Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving this wonderful opportunity today to come around thy table to exalt and adore thee. Remember thee, Lord, and remember our salvation, as well as to prepare ourselves and wait upon thee until thy coming. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for drawing us together so that, Lord, we look at thy face. Lord, open our hearts, open our ears and eyes to listen to you, to see you, so that, Lord, we would become one which you want us to. Lord, prepare our hearts so that the seed what you're going to sow today would bring forth fruit in our lives. Amen. Lord, empty us. Remove pre-existing thoughts, our pre-existing knowledge. Meet us freshly so that, Lord, we could rejoice with you. What a joy it is, Lord, to come together as a group of saints belonging to one body. Lord, as we are rooted in the love of Lord Jesus Christ, lead us this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank the Lord for the opportunity what the Lord has given unto us. Well, this may or may not be the day, but the whole world is celebrating the Resurrection Day and Easter, but the fact is, it's a fact which we celebrate every day in our lives and gather around the saints every Resurrection Day or a Lord's Day. To turn with me to Romans chapter 6, read three portions. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Therefore, Romans chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Similarly, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And the third portion is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand side of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When I was praying for the message, somehow, Lord, I was meditating upon the Leviticus for a long time. So I had a plan to go through how this priest and everything. So this Wednesday I came to the church prayer. I came late. So few sisters, so somehow my heart was not kind of comfortable what I was meditating, and few sisters started praying about the resurrection life and resurrection power when you're praying for the brothers and sisters in Christ. So Lord was kind of pushing me towards this resurrection life, as we all pray, resurrection life, resurrection power. So Lord was pushing me, to this thing. And I was just calmly sitting in the prayer and praying. And another sister also prayed. Another person, I don't want to say sister, I want to say sister or brother. Another person also was praying the same thing. Then, you know, then I was traveling, driving back. The Lord was putting these thoughts in my mind. It was not planned because it was Easter, but that's the way the Lord plans. As the Lord has planned with the opening message with our brother. So, these three passages, what we have read, talks about resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the death and is available to us today to overcome sin. We are redeemed and risen. So, a redeemed life focuses on forgiveness and free from penalty and salvation through the Jesus Christ. But resurrected life, or resurrection life, or the risen life, goes further, a further active, transformed, empowered new life in Christ that started now and goes into eternity by victory over sin and the death which is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. So I was thinking, like, how this life should be, you know, how this power should be. We read so many passages. One place it say newness of life, another place it say knowing the Christ, and another place it says you're risen, look at the things about the up above. So although the redemption, the redeemed life, and the resurrection life both go in hand in hand, the first one gives the redemption gives the position, right? Position given by the redemption. And the resurrection lives provides the power to live out the position what we have in the Lord. So if you have just position, but you are not using the power to live out that position in life, then we are somewhere not able to know the Christ. So I was thinking, looking at the Romans chapter 6, verse 5, 4 and 5. It says, so I was saying, what it is, so I divided it into three parts. One is resurrection, that is newness in life. And another one I went through and made resurrection life, focusing on knowing Christ. And third one, resurrection life, a risen life, seeking the things above. The way I divided, I may not be good able to put it well, but let us see how the Lord helps us to go through it. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it talks, so even we also should walk in the newness of life. That means resurrection life replaces old life with the life of Christ. So I was thinking, we're all born-again Christians. We're Christians from, few people are Christians from 2-3 generations. Some people are born again now, very active in the church. So sometimes we lose that newness of life, you know. That freshness, when you buy a new car, you have that freshness in the car. You behave well, you drive well. When you wear the new shoes, you have the freshness in the legs, right? Freshness in the legs. People can see and say, oh, nice shoes. And you really rejoice in it. And kind of thing, you are loving it, right? And this is new college. I don't say new spouse. Spouse, okay. The love of the life, whatever it is, there's a freshness, you know. So I was thinking, like, how this freshness, I mean, do a church like us can also stop walking in the newness of life? Then the Lord, I mean, took me to the passage of Revelation, chapter 2, right, talking about the Ephesus, right, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 6. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 to 6, but we'll read portion by portion. Let's read first verse 2 and 3. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. This is an excellent testimony what the Lord has given about the Ephesus. When you look at it, it looks like nothing is missing, right? If you don't read the further verses, you feel when you read those two verses, nothing is missing. If the Lord gives the same testimony about us, we are like top of the roof. You know, what else we want? Top of the roof. I mean, carnal eyes looks at these characteristics, right? Maybe essential things for individual life. When I was reading it, I was thinking, man, what else do you need, right? You have labor, you have patience, and you're keeping away from the evil people and identifying who are liars, who are not preaching. And third verse, and has borne, has patience for my name's sake, has labored. So everything, every visible thing a church can do. And every visible thing a human can do. I mean, in the eyes of the Lord, something newness is missing in this Ephesus. When they found the Lord. The assembly is still very busy observing. Jesus observes here, Lord Jesus Christ observes here, hard work, patience, endurance, not tolerating evil people. Despite all the labor and patient suffering, Lord Jesus recognizes that they abandoned the first love, you know, which is not visible at all. So it says, fourth verse, nevertheless have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You know, this is not visible. This is not visible to an individual eyes. It is not visible to the church. It's only visible to the Lord and you. See that? How the Lord is looking. If I was in Ephesus, I would think we are the best church of the world. But the eyes of the Lord is looking beyond the things which are visible. This is not visible to anyone, but the Lord is saying, this is you lost that newness. I don't find this newness of life in you, right? When we took this earthly example, for any newness, you have a love towards it. So he's saying the newness of life, I'm not seeing you in other terms. I mean, it's not a simple thing. Out of all these important things to be a Christian, the Lord recognizes the most important thing is missing. My first love refers to a fresh passion and devotion believers have in Christ. This is an individual thing. This is not measured because there's no human measure. Unfortunately, in the world, you can see if somebody has a patience, right? It's visible. And you can see if somebody doesn't hard work. You can see if somebody is doing the great Lord's work, but you cannot see the love. I'm not saying the love, the first love, not the love when we see the people, we hug and smile and compliment on the shed. The special ingredient, the first love, which only God can see. And there is a reason when Jesus Christ was saying this to disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 13 and 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if I have love one for another. It is still visible for the outsiders. But when we are so deep into the duties, we forget the essence of the newness of life. Forgetting the essence of the newness of life will make you like a robot. You know, nowadays robots are built. It has a lot of patience than us. It has a lot of endurance than us. It can do a lot of hard work than us. And you give her the do's and the don'ts, it can identify who is wrong, who is right. Right? So Ephesus' hard work and patience, endurance is very much appreciable. But as time passed, they became motivated by the sense of duty than the precise love to God. It has become so much of duty, they're just moving air, because they have tuned like robots to it. But totally missing that precise love, the newness. Because they lost this first love, they're not able to perform the first works. You see that? How they're connected? So all the works are they doing, but still Lord is saying, you're not able to perform the first works. You know, look at the second chapter, Revelation second chapter, verse 5. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. So they were doing the first works. I mean, if you look at the Acts 18 chapter, 19 chapter, you can read across. But due to the first love, losing that first love, they are not able to do the first works. The Lord is asking to repent. So this is considered as a sin, terrible sin in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason he's saying, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove the candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Sometimes we do the things what all the Ephesus assembly is doing, and we never even consider that losing a first love is the biggest sin. I mean, I don't know how that can be measured, but you all know. I can check into my heart. Do you have that love what I got from the Lord? That what I received from it, can I able to express it out? The problem is there is no reflection in our lives. Because of the love need to reflect out, because of that, the works are stopped. I mean, we don't have do's and don't do's in this, but it's a time to examine all of us as individually, as we again form the group of blood-bought believers as a church. Is that the resurrection, as we are raised with the Lord, does we have that newness in life? You know, the simple love what the Lord Lord talks about Israel in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2. Okay, 1 and 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. You know, the Lord is remembering this kind of love, right? I mean, they went with the Lord in the wilderness. Somehow, I've seen that land. So this kind of, I don't know how the Lord is expecting this kind of love from us, but at least for us, for us, I mean, he paid it all. So this kind of gentle love and the devotion the Lord is expecting. And here, the Lord is asking the Ephesus assembly to repent, right? Remember and repent. Lord is not asking, Lord is not saying the love which you have not experienced. And Lord is not asking about the love which he has not experienced from you all, we all. So Lord is asking the experienced love which was in us to remember it. Sometimes I had a question, did any time I had this love, you know, or I was just being redeemed and being happy, I'm saved. Because in our churches, they used to ask a question, are you born again? Then I used to say, for the sake of, because that's a joy, yeah, I'm born again, you know. So Lord is calling us into this love. If you have not gone to experience this, if you have experienced this love, but not able to reflect this love, Lord is encouraging to consider. I mean, that is one of the resurrected life. That is one of the newness of life. It says, the newness of life, when you say remember and repent, it is not just being feeling sorrow or saying, oh my God, where is my love? It is setting up a new direction. I have got the reason. I have been risen. My direction should be new. Because emotions are suddenly danger. We start thinking about, oh, I did not show the love to that person, this person. It's not like being emotional. It's about your life should set a different direction, which what you have experienced from the Lord. The newness of life should transit into a depth that makes the first love even stronger, right? When you're married, you love a person. When you grow old, it goes, the depth is different, right? The depth is different. And it becomes more stronger that no one can understand until they lived. You see? Many of the relationships, let it be any relationships, because husband and wife is the best relationship according to the Bible, they're not able to go into that depth. That is the reason we are not able to get strong. It's same with the Lord. We have become so duty oriented. Lord says, no. You have risen. If it was duty, then I would have given you do's and don't do's. Do's and don'ts. I'm expecting this depth of love to even go stronger and stronger so that he'll become stronger and stronger image in us. If not, we are redeemed. We are walking in one direction and the Lord is trying to form in us. Any relationship or any start, the love is the essence of it. And without having the Lord's love receiving and expressed, we are not able to do the Lord's work what we can do. I mean, Lord was happy to give the testimony about the Ephesus, about everything what an assembly can do. Sometimes, you know, we are like an Ephesus assembly. I'm not saying we don't have a love. Hope we also have a love. But we have everything. But, you know, it's up to an individual because it is not, when I'm speaking, it is to me. Do I have that first love for the Lord? I was meditating, I was saying, Lord, do I have it? Because I've been saved, I need to do all the things which you listed for the Ephesus. Coming to the second point, that is the reason resurrection life is focusing on Christ. You know, in the Philippians chapter 3:9, because once you start loving the Lord with that first love, then you focus. I told you, right? When you wear a new shoes, you love the shoes, you focus on the shoes, you walk the different way. When I wear a new shoes, I try to walk straight. Otherwise, I walk carelessly. So it's like that. When you love the Lord with the first love, you focus on the Lord. Right? Then you can understand the resurrection power. Now, many times we pray, Lord, I want to see the resurrection power. Lord, I want to understand the resurrection power. Let us see, Lord, what Paul was trying. When Paul said this statement, what was his prefix actions, what he did. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, 8, 9, 10. But what, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, 8, 9, 10. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sufferings, being made uncomfortable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So I was thinking about 10th verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Before that, the 7th verses are very, very, very verses after which the statement what the Paul has given in the 10th verse comes. It says, I've written, here obviously we all know Paul is not talking about the head knowledge about Christ, but is insisting no confidence in the flesh, you know. Power of Jesus Christ is no confidence, knowing the Lord and knowing the power of resurrection is no confidence in the flesh. He says in the, like, we all say, like, you know, we all want to say, like, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it's not I, but Christ, all right, lives in me, right? But we, being the children of the Lord, are not able to live the word I, right? Right? In fact, we bring all the best qualities of I and try to satisfy the Lord. Have you observed that? We hide the bad qualities of I, bring the best qualities of I, and want to serve the Lord. This is the way the world has taught us. You go to the school, you bring all the best qualities of I because you want to ace. You go to the office culture, you need to bring all the best qualities of I, of yourself, so that you can be recognized. We are so habituated, we come to the presence of the Lord, we come to the people of the Lord, or come to serve the Lord with the same I. You know, in the 7th verse, when Paul says, but what things we gained to me, those I counted for loss. You know, Paul has a great resume, right? Who has a great resume like Paul? Achievements and education. But after knowing the Christ and after walking with the Christ, he recognized that this achievements are the things which kept him away from the Christ. See that? All his knowledge, all his achievements, all his capabilities, right? It really that kept him away from Christ. Have you realized that? What we have, right? Will try to keep you away from Christ. And that is the reason he's counting it as loss. It is not like Indian way of loss where you are searching, going to Himalayas and trying to find the truth. And then come back from Himalayas and feel proud that I have all the power of God. It's not like. He identified what all the resume what I have is the same thing which is keeping away from Christ. You know? In that way, in that direction, he's trying to know the Christ. Because if he comes in through his resume direction, he cannot never know what is Christ and the power of his resurrection. Unknowingly, knowing Christ is not just living the bad things. You know, I was a kid, I was thinking knowing Christ is just living the bad habits. I mean, that is true. But it's not just living the bad things. It says, knowing Christ is not just living the bad things. But although that is good to live the bad things, but knowing Christ is better than all the good things that the world has to offer, like security, reputation, power, satisfaction, and comfort. You know? It's so tough to live without security, reputation, power, satisfaction, comfort. I mean, it speaks about like, it's me, you know. Understanding what the Lord offers is more than all these things. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, unknowingly we run for the same thing which we need to live for the Christ. Running for the same things would not take us in the direction to know the Christ and know the resurrection power of Christ. We just change the direction. It's been a long time. We have been told your satisfaction is important, your reputation is important, your power is important, your satisfaction is important, your comfort is important. You know, how when I see how the missionaries went to countries like India and elsewhere, surprised. We talk about them now as if they have been reputed, but the life was not reputation life, right? That is the reason they could tap into the resurrection power. It can go into such an extent from the point of church, spending more time about learning Jesus rather than spending time with Christ. It can go to such an extent. Enemy is very, very smart, right? You know, sometimes I feel if I go read some word for a couple of hours or read some book, I'm so satisfied because I feel like I've learned something that is good. But spending time with Christ is let go all these things. You know, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we find our relationships, family relationships, church relationships, the church functionality, church division, the cause of them is because they say we are not satisfied. Have you observed that? And some people find in the relationship, let it be church or family, they don't have power, enough power, or comfort or security. So Paul, when he speaks in the third chapter, 7th and 8th verse, that is the reason he's saying, but the things which are gained to me, those are counted loss for Christ, because he knows that is stopping him to go forward, to knowing the Christ, you know. Because these things will keep you busy knowing about you. You know, I like people write biographies. I'm happy people like write biographies. But generally, people write biographies of others, right? Not themselves. But we write our own biography within ourselves, right? What I am. Like, you know, once I was reading, the vague imagination about ourselves, right? How comfortable, how security we are. This is the one which is destroying the work of Christ individually and in the assembly. Because with all this kind of security, reputation, power, satisfaction, or resume, what you have, living on that, you cannot know the power of Christ. It has been, or all the resurrection power of Christ. You know, in many places, in the secular world, you are given a position because you can speak well or you can do a job good. But the same thing has continued, the world has continued in the church also. It's a good thing to identify that this brother has a talent. I'm not saying that. But that has exactly replicated in the church. That is the reason the church is not performing as if the knowing the Christ. It's performing well from the point of the human life. So even personal ambition to pursue ministry or deeper spiritual life falls in category, you know, because everything is becoming personal. It's not about the power of the Lord, you know, what I did, what I cannot do, right? It is tough because you need to change the direction. The more you live, you are actually going the direction of I. But the Lord is saying, come to the direction of me. Then only you can know me. With the power of resurrection, that's what we can move on, move in that direction. If there is no power of resurrection, if the Lord has redeemed us, then maybe, you know, redeemed us, then we need to have our own personal strength, personal ambition for pursue the ministry, deeper spiritual knowledge of the Lord. But there's a resurrection. You have risen with the Lord. So it is the direction need to change. It is tough. That is the reason. It is not that you carry, the direction is coming from your secular world to the church. I mean, we need to learn that we need to reverse the direction. From church you need to take to the secular world. You know? Then only we can know the Christ and give the Christ. World is giving so much of knowledge about the Antichrist, right? All the knowledge which is other than the Christ is Antichrist. Somehow we are not able to, as a church, we are not able to give the knowledge of Christ and the resurrection power of Christ to outside, because we ourselves are moving in the wrong directions. I'm not saying all the time, but few times, you know. Like Ephesus. They've fallen, they lost the first love. So I was thinking, you need to have that first love. With that first love, you set a direction towards the Christ, forgetting about your own resume. Then you can know the Christ. Then you can understand the resurrection power of Christ. Just praying, Lord, I want to see the resurrection power of Christ. Lord, I want this brother to understand the resurrection power of Christ. Doesn't help. You need to pray. But Lord, this is a life. This needs to be lived, not just prayed. Right? It should be lived. That is the reason life is given, to live, not to just stop and move in. If you're not living in this direction, then we have totally not using the power of resurrection. I said, this is called overcoming power. You know? That is the reason God asked this all assemblies, overcomers, overcomers, overcomers. And the third one I was looking is, the Colossians chapter 3, which we read, the risen life. The risen life. It says in the third chapter, Colossians. Now, action. First one is having the first love. Second one is setting a direction from you towards the Christ. Third one is action. It says in the third chapter, first words, if we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, which are where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Right? So this is now the God is calling for an action. When I read this message, when I was reading this chapter, it has do's and don'ts. Right? So I was thinking, oh, we are a born-again believers. We don't go to the legalistic way. We don't consider the do's and don'ts. But the Holy Spirit has a purpose. If the Holy Spirit was not interested in do's and don'ts, because it is expecting some actions to come, it would have not written these do's and don'ts. Right? I'm not saying we need to read do's and don'ts, but this is important to check. Right? But we have become so spirit-filled life, we are thinking whatever we feel right is the Spirit is telling us. Because that is what the enemy is cheating now. If you go to any many charismatic meetings and everything, what they think it is coming from the Spirit of the Lord. So here, although it gives do's and don'ts, like it talks about the sins of flesh and suffering in the third and in the fifth words, and also the sins of speech and relation in the eighth and ninth words, my eyes caught up at the ninth and the tenth words. Put off the old man and put on the new man. See that? Put off the old man. This is like a action expected from the people who have risen from the Lord, right? We know that when you go to the office, how you dress and how you go and how you talk, right? When you come to church, we do it. So we know what is put off, taking off, and you know what is put on. So clearly it says in the ninth verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 9th verse, it says, put off the old man with his deeds. And in the 10th verse, right, it says, put on the new man which is renewed. There's a deliberate statement it is given. The phrase calls for a decisive break from past behavior and attitude that are inconsistent with the life of Christ. You know, it's like we don't drift into holiness. There's chances we drift into unholiness, but we don't drift into holiness. Right? Anybody drifted accidentally into the holiness? No. Right? We don't drift into holiness. Right? We don't drift into holiness. We choose to put off the sin clothing frames, which actually we can do by the grace of the Lord, right? So this putting on, very important to the Christian life. Putting off the old man and putting the new man refers to a positional change which has already achieved in Christ. This is not, you have positioned, right? It's like this, you are not trying to put on so that you become good. But your position has already changed to be good. So now, that is the reason you're putting on this change. Okay? This is not illegal to do salvation. But is now you're saying, hey, my position is I got selected in a football team. Right? I had to put on when I'm going to the match. Right? And we are here in the eternal match. It is not we are in a match when we come to the Sunday and put on Christ and give it on, removed off. Sometimes in my early Christian life, my wife used to say, you're so spiritual on Sunday, but slowly it reduces from Monday to Saturday. That is fact. It looks like a laughing. It's a fact. The power of, because we did not change our day, we did not put off. We come, we take it and we go, we pray around after the message, but somehow we are not putting off because we are not doing deliberate actions every day, right? It is becoming weaker and weaker. That is the reason, you know, the resurrection life need to align. I mean, the day-to-day life and the daily life should align with the risen life, you know? It sounds complicated for me when I read it, right? I don't know whether these do's and don'ts we can read, which can really help. I feel like I don't know how many commandments. It's like it's not a 10 commandments, but it's such a great thing the Lord has given for the weaker people like us. From 8, it talks about children. From 18, talks about wives, husband, what all. We can put on it. We can put on it. If your day-to-day life is not reflecting putting on Christ, then actually we are not living that victorious life, you know. We are not living the action-based life. We have excellent knowledge, but the action is lacking. The Lord may be thinking, what else I should give to them? I have given them the resurrection power, but they're willfully not putting on the new man. Or the day-to-day life, they're not ready to live the resurrection life, you know. Resurrection power is not like a magic thing where you pray, and suddenly the Lord gives you a light saying the resurrection power. It is a deliberate choice to put on the new man. When I read these verses, I hate to say it like this do's and don'ts, but when the Spirit of the Lord is talking about the putting off and putting on, it gave the list. So clearly it gave the list. I'm not saying we need to follow the rules, but will help you which part of the life you are not putting on the Christ. We're such a great Christians, but some places in the marriage life or children life or office life, we act as if you are not put on the Christ because your own resume pops up saying that, hey, I'm successful, I'm not satisfied or, you know, whatever they are. that is destroying the lives of the church. When I say the church, it attacks first the individual, then the family, then the church. It also has a process. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, the Lord has brought these things. The risen life is a deliberate action life. It is not magic where somebody holds on, gives you power, and then you start walking with the power. That's not the Christian life. Christian life is deliberate action. That is the reason when Paul was writing these things, he was counting everything loss. He knows it. He left himself. Right? Actually, if Paul wanted, he can use this power and try to convince the internal people with his own earthly resume and make people to follow Christ. He would have done that easily. At least few people. But Paul chose not to go into that direction. Likewise, Paul chose that in every aspect of his life. So today, Lord is encouraging for all of us to choose deliberately to live a risen life in your individual life, in your family life, and your church life. May Lord bless this word. Dear Lord, we look at thy throne, thanking you for a risen life. Lord, we always want to know the Jesus Christ and want to know the resurrection power. But Lord, everything is given unto us. But Lord, we're deliberately living in our own selfish life. Lord, we are so busy doing the things what needs to be done as a Christian life, but we forgot the first love, and Lord, because of which we are not able to do the first works. As the word says, repent. Remember and repent. So Lord, remind us from where we have fallen so that Lord will repent, not just emotionally, but set a new direction. Lord, help us, Lord, to know that our own self, our own capabilities, our own satisfaction, power, recognition are the things which are keeping away from the Christ. Lord, sometimes we think that all these things are given by you, and Lord keeps try using these things to convince you and work in thy presence. So Lord, strength, Lord, help us to set the direction. The direction should not be towards us, but the direction will be towards you, losing all what we have, what we think is great. The greatest things of the world fall short before the things what you have prepared for us. Lord, help us to deliberately put off the man, old man, put on the old man, put on the new man. Lord, we cannot do by ourselves. But Lord, thank you, Lord, with the overcoming power, with the resurrection power, we can do it. So the lead us, Lord, to walk the risen life in day-to-day life. It is not when we come to the church. It is not when we read the passage of the word. It is not when we read somebody's autobiography. But Lord, let this putting on the new man be a continuous thing in our life. An everyday choice whether to put on the new man or not. In every context of our life. In every actions of our life. Lord, teach us we are unwise, unworthy people. Lord, so that we could continuously walk in the power of resurrection. Once again, we give you all glory and honor. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.